Well, you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we've gone through chapter 14 here, and essentially this chapter 14 of the book of Romans is an admonition for us to count, have our priorities straight about the work of God and the ministry of God. Let us not sacrifice the ministry and work of God, the witness, the care that we have for our brothers and sisters in Christ, the care that we have even for those unsaved. Let us not sacrifice that for something that would be optional or preferential to serve ourselves. Let us not serve ourselves, but let us serve our Lord, and let us serve one another, and let us serve even those that are without Christ, that we might seek their help and their blessing. We come here, and as we read here, let me get my notes straightened out here. One moment, please. We took a look over in First Corinthians chapter 10, also speaking about that. And I find it interesting, this church at Rome in Italy, this church at Corinth over in Greece, and they're just right across the water one from another there. The way that chapter 10 ended up, I wanted to read that verse. Even as I please all men and all things, the apostle writes, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And so, stumbling block, we don't want to put a stumbling block before anyone, and we want to be a help and an edifier and a good witness of good things. Chapter 15 starts off with this same thought in mind, okay, not leaving the thought entirely, but moving on, the brother moving on to other things. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. And so yet a summary of that, what we've considered in chapter 14. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. Let everyone of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, verse 3, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. And we take a look at that in Psalm 69, verse 9. That's the passage that's being quoted. So if you think that you are strong, don't be found not bearing the weak, okay? That of being strong is not a point of boasting, but it's a point of being equipped to serve and bear yet a greater load. Again, remember the brother wrote here in this passage in chapter 14 of Romans and over in 1 Corinthians 10, he said, why is my good judged of another man's conscience? All right? And so why is that? Well, it's just time to be mature and big in the Lord. If there is something there that's a stumbling block, even though we might have liberty to pursue or pursue this optional or preferential thing, if it's a stumbling block, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So if we would say I'm strong in the Lord, or I'm strong in this facet or this aspect of the Lord, and I don't think we would ever do that, but I'm just saying that if we think that, if we consider that, well, those that are strong are to bear the weak. Understand what that means. If we ever think in ourselves, or we would even come to say that we have arrived in some things, it means that we have responsibility given to us. To whom much is given, much is required. And so if we have knowledge, we have understanding, we're not called to the way that the flesh operate, but we're called in that to operate more spiritually. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And so the Lord bore for us much. And well, we ought to bear that for his service. And there's a blessing in that indeed. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So again, one of those passages, right? One of those passages that tells about the word, the history that we have in the scriptures. All things written aforetime were written for our learning. He tells this to other churches and epistles to them, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Patience, cheerful, enduring continuance. Cheerful, enduring continuance might have comfort, might have, in the next verse, the word consolation is used. It's the same word. These things were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Where our brethren prevailed in great trying things. That can be, that is an admonition to us to persevere, to continue on. Now the God of patience and consolation. So see, patience in verse 4, patience in verse 5, comfort in verse 4, consolation in verse 5, same words. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation, so Brother Stephen, another reason for us to pray, amen. Our Lord can give us comfort. He can give us consolation. Oh, we might complain in our hearts and minds to our Lord. I had to give up that perfectly prepared porterhouse for the sake of another. But the Lord will help us and show us what's right. Denying self for the sake of others, as the Lord Jesus' example is. Now, the God of patience and consolation, scriptures are written that we might, through them, might have patience and comfort. But then the God of patience and consolation grant to you to be like-minded. He can grant to us. It means we might have need of it. Amen? And we may need to petition him for that. Lord, help me that I would be strong in you. Help me that I would be willing to wait and to bear and be long-suffering as you are. Lord, comfort me in this and help me to have consolation that you are the rewarder of your children and you will help. The blessing of the Lord and me giving up that porterhouse steak to not be a stumbling block to another, my Lord can more than replace that with eternal things. See that? See that? Rather than just being caught up in the things of this life and demanding and wanting the things of this life, may we seek what is eternal. And now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. So he's bringing this to home. He's saying, you to you. Evidently there in the church at Rome, there's been some issues between you and you, brothers and brothers, and sisters and sisters, and sisters and brothers and sisters. And you be like-minded, like Christ, according to Christ Jesus. You operate and behave like the Lord Christ Jesus, our Lord, would do so. That ye may, verse 6, with one mind and one mouth glorify God. There's to be unity in the church. There's to be unity in our worship. There's to be unity in our service. There's to be unity in our following of our Lord. That we may be with one mind and one mouth, that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our desire. It should be our desire to glorify our Lord in everything. In everything. And everything I do and pursue and everything that we walk day to day to day, is it glorifying to our Lord? In the way that I behave and what I say, what I speak, how I say it, Is it glorifying to my Lord? Does it speak the truth? Does it speak the truth in a right way? Does it speak the truth in love? Verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. It's kind of, that kind of smacks of what it says in chapter 14, verse number 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Receive him, but don't make his case worse. Don't make his case worse, but be a help to him. Wherefore receive ye one another, verse 7 of chapter 15, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Who was more weak than we? Who was more unable than we? Who was poorer than me, than you? And our Lord received us, he saved us, he's brought us to himself, and he's done so to help us. All long suffering in every way. Myself not getting and understanding so many things, not understanding much at all. But our Lord has received us. He's received us graciously and mercifully and taken us in our sin and washed us in his own blood and changed us and made us his own. He's made us accepted in the beloved. He's made us to be meet to be partakers of the inheritance of light, the children of light. You know, remember, we were the enemies of God. And our Lord has brought us in. Well, we ought to do well by one another, shouldn't we? Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. The Lord took the lowest of the low and brought us to the highest of the high, and to the glory and praise of God Almighty. What greater exhibition of favor, of grace than that? What greater exhibition of mercy and love than that? To take us from the miry pit of sin and self and depravity and set us on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say, now he's gonna deal with this church as she is. And I've told you and we've run across some verses that this church at Rome is a Gentile church. There certainly may be Jews that would be members of this church. But this church is namely a Gentile church, okay? And here we have a passage that confirms that for us. And he's speaking to the Gentiles, these Gentiles that are members here, that they might have right understanding. He spoke to them in previous chapters about different things and different considerations that they've had that were, some of them had that were not correct. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Jesus Christ is and was born and came a Jew. Period. And not only was he a Jew, he was a minister called by God to minister unto people. Okay? Now I say, he's making a point here. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. The nation of Israel, as a whole and in her leadership, had gone away from the truth, hadn't they? They had made the law something that it was not, and they wrote commentary and the traditions of the elders that the Lord rebuked them about. And they made that truth of God into something that it wasn't. They went away from the truth of God. But Jesus was a minister from amongst the Jews for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now, who's the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You remember the patriarchs, even down as it's been mentioned, or as it is certainly mentioned in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, about, and the apostle uses this language, he'll make a statement to the saved like this. What has Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, found? What has he found? Well, Abraham's not our father in the flesh. He was a Hebrew, and we are Gentiles. But because of faith, he's our father. Okay? And so he says, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. And what were those promises? Okay, well, four of them listed out right here. That the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. The promise to the fathers, and that Abraham would be the father of many nations, not only was that he did through his own children, and ultimately the patriarchs of the nation of Israel, and then the blessing that the Lord even gave to some of Abraham's other children and prosperity and bounty in that, but namely we find out from this book and other books in the New Testament that is that of faith, and that from Israel, which descended from Abraham, would come the Savior that would not only be the Savior of Abraham's seed, but also the Savior of many from all nations of the earth. And so that was the promise. And Galatians talks to us about not that the promise was fulfilled not in seeds, not in so many children, but seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes sinners and births them into his own kingdom. Jesus being a descendant of Abraham, yet being Abraham's God. isn't it a marvel what our Lord, the way our Lord has wrought? He being a descendant of Abraham, yet being Abraham's God, made a promise to Abraham that includes you and me. The Lord made promises. And he not only made it to the Jews, but he made it to the Gentiles too. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And we do. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Let's take a look over here at these. Psalm 18, quickly. It's a Psalm of David. And it says here, a Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, we come here to verse number 49, where the scripture says, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. And that's us. We started out as the heathen, but now because of the Lord, we do believe. That's what that word heathen means, is an unbeliever. And it's rendered in the New Testament here where we've read it in Romans as the Gentiles. So the Gentiles are heathen indeed. We're foreign and separated from God. And sing praises unto thy name. Back in Romans 15, and again, verse number 10, he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. With his people. Look at this, how far back this goes. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Yeah, Deuteronomy, when Brother Moses was preaching to the children of Israel and two or three messages that he preached unto them here in the book of Deuteronomy, he preaches about the salvation of the Gentiles. It says here, In verse 43 of Deuteronomy 32, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people." His people being the nation of Israel, and Israel will be saved. She will be saved. Our Lord will save her. He will save her in the end, indeed. And you know what? Because of the salvation of the Lord upon us, we'll be able to praise his name right beside his people and his nation. He didn't have to do that. And just a man wouldn't have done that. He would have been loyal to his people and his nation. Isn't that the way it is with us naturally? Aren't we loyal to our family? But our Lord has made it to where we'll be able to rejoice with his nation there. "Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people." And then in verse 11 of chapter 15 in Romans. And again, he's really hammering the point home, isn't he? Yes, you're included. Yes, the Lord has been merciful to you and gracious to you in saving you. But remember what he said? Don't be high-minded, but fear. Have everything in its right place. Don't boast against the natural branches. Because if they got broke off in unbelief, surely the unnatural branches could be broken off too. Hold everything right. Part of this that he writes to the Church of Rome here is just have things in right perspective. Don't get the big head. Be thankful. Don't chide and don't despise the Lord's nation and the Lord's people. You know, the Jews have a reputation in their ability for business and shrewdness and things. They have a reputation of being hard and shrewd, and there's an element where they are despised. The Jews are despised by the world. But you know what? The Lord loves them, and he will save of them whom he will. We've had that instruction there that not all Israel truly is Israel, okay? But those that receive the Lord by faith. And he says, don't run them down and don't despise them because they are the Lord's. But be thankful that you've been included. And you know what? And this is coming. Where you can be a help to them, you be a good help and a good witness to them. And again, praise the Lord, verse 11. All ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Psalm 117. Let's take a look here. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Look what it says here in Psalm 118, verse 1. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Making a distinction of all the other nations beyond Israel. Praise him, all ye people. And again, in verse number 12 of chapter 15 in Romans. From Deuteronomy to the Psalms to Isaiah. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse. Oh, what a blessed verse. Listen, there shall be a root of Jesse. And he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Isaiah wrote that. Let's take a look at that over in Isaiah 11, early in the book. Isaiah, in an interesting book, and so much in this book that can be gleaned and gathered. It's amazing how our Lord has worked with the book of Isaiah. But here in the beginning, more towards the beginning of the book, in Isaiah 11, verse number 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch. That's his name. that's the branch that we get nourishment from. That's the vine that we're tapped into, that we're from which we spring. And a branch will grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to be on him. The sixfold work of the Spirit there in verse number 2. It tells about his kingdom and his greatness. Verse 10, And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. What we saw here about recently about the rest of our Lord on Wednesday night there in Hebrews chapter 4. You think about and consider the threefold rest of our Lord. What about it is not glorious? That a sinner is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by repentance and faith and the power of God upon them, and rescued from this old wicked way and world and sin and depravity and the way of Satan. What is not glorious about that? In every way, undeserving, yet the pleasure of God upon the sinner that he would save him. And then, that this old flesh, that this old man, that this old mind can have, the child of God can have rest in the service and obedience of the Lord, to spread the same message that came to him or her and saved them, and have peace with God for the rest of the time that they walk on this earth to the honor and glory of God. What about that is not glorious? That they can know God and that they can hear from the Lord and that they can pray into the Lord and have a relationship with the Lord. That, as our brother brought out this morning, that God, by salvation, has become our Heavenly Father and we're a joint heir with His Son. His rest is indeed glorious, isn't it? And then one day, thirdly, we look forward and have great hope, great expectation, expectation that one day we'll see Jesus face to face. And when we see Him face to face, we'll never depart from His presence again. We'll be with our Lord forever. Whether it be in heaven while He waits for the Father to come and rapture out His saints, or whether it be that He comes in the clouds for us while we're here, or whether it be that we go back to glory in the meantime, waiting for the Father to give the Son directive to come and set His feet on the Mount of Olives and rule in this earth for 1,000 years. We'll be with Jesus forever. Amen. What about that is not glorious? Amen? And there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. Seek the Lord while He may be found, sinner. His word has not come to you by chance or just by some fluke or some luck of the draw. His word has come to you to tell you the truth. Receive it. Receive Him. Believe Him. And His rest shall be glorious. Our brother writes to this church, having never been in her presence, but yet her being established there by the ministry of others, and one of the Lord's churches. That's a point about the Church of Rome. It wasn't established by the ministry of the Apostle Paul. It was others that came and this church was established. Yet he writes to her, and he makes this point with her, that the promises that the Lord has given, the promises unto the fathers, are the promises made to the Gentiles also of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1, 2, 3, 4, he shows in the Old Testament scriptures where this was the plan and the working of God all along, not to the exclusion of the Jews, but to the inclusion of the Gentiles and the blessing of God. Now he begins to kind of have a tone of signing off, and for this afternoon we will so too. Let's take a look at a couple more verses here. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Do you have joy and peace in believing? When a child of God doesn't add to their faith and it gets all dark and it gets all cloudy and it gets all backslidden, like Peter tells us about in that second epistle in chapter 1, like we've looked at so many weeks in the Sunday morning service, a child of God can not have joy and peace in believing. David prayed, "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation." Why is that written for us? Because that can get that way with us. We can get cold and we can get indifferent and we can let this old world and all the stuff that comes our way in this world, whether it be temptation or hard times or difficulty or illness and sickness and this old body just not being able to stay well, whatever it may be, we lack, we're found in need, hurt. We can find ourselves in a place where we don't have joy and peace in believing. So may our Lord fill us. It's the desire of the apostle that the Lord do so for them. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There's joy and peace in believing Jesus. As John wrote, "I'm writing to you that believe, that you might know that you have eternal life, and that you might keep on believing in Him." Oh, what's going on in the world? It's such a mess. It's such haywire. We do grieve. We do grieve when there's wickedness and sin and our nation just going down the tubes. It grieves us. It should grieve us. But remember, this isn't our home. And our Lord is always in control. If He was in control when He was dead for those 3 days and three nights, He's surely in control now. Amen. He knows right where we are. That ye may abound in hope. Not hope in the things of this world. Use this world right. Put it in its right place. But don't let that be our hope. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God that lives within. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Is this not our work? What we're to pursue? In this verse number 13, isn't that our witness to a lost and dying world? And our admonition and exhortation one to another? Brother? Sister? This world's not our home. We're just passing through. Our Lord is in control. He knows what we need. He's told us He'll provide to us according to His purpose and plan in our lives. If Jesus isn't excited, I don't need to be excited. And I myself, verse number 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness. Seek the goodness of your neighbor to edification. And I'm persuaded, he says, that you're full of goodness. One of those fruits of the Spirit. Filled with all knowledge. Able also to admonish one another. He says, I know through the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can. Through the power of the Spirit of God, you can. You know, this kind of rings of that which is the last part of the Great Commission, isn't it? Teaching to observe the all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Doesn't it ring of that? Listen, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Yeah, even Gentiles. Even Gentiles, saved by the Lord, put in His church, and there to serve Him and fulfilling that great commission until Jesus comes back. We have no other thing. We have no other thing in our lives greater than this eternal thing of salvation by our Lord and this calling to His church and this work that He's given us to do. May we remember that. Lord, help us to remember that on Tuesday. Amen. Wednesday morning. And I'm glad that we have services that helps us to remember. We're going to close there for this afternoon. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ became a man so that He might be a Savior for sinners like you and me. And you can have everlasting life through Him.